As I drove into church yesterday morning to check my mail and kind of catch up after being out of town for a week, I noticed something consistent all the way in from Brookfield. In front of house after house, Christmas trees were at the curb ready to be recycled. After that week away, we returned to find that the Christmas fairies didn't take down all of our tree and decorations at home, so I think Kathy has that on my agenda for today. But if you like most, Christmas is already becoming a distant memory. Our thoughts are clearly on the new year, the threat of war, and the tense political atmosphere around the world. We read the headlines and we see that nothing much has changed. In short, we're already a long way from the stable. And here we are reading yet another lesson from the gospel telling a piece of the Christmas story. There's a real sense of slippage between the cute little baby in the manger and the stark reality of the world in which we live. Or is there? Is there a place for this child of God in a world such as ours? Can we believe in a Redeemer in the midst of a world that so clearly is not yet redeemed? The responsibility lies with us. We alone can make possible that connection between what we believe and what we do. We alone can make Christ relevant to the realities that confront us. But we all need help in making some connection between the manger and what we so smugly call real life. Now, as Tanya was saying, there are many parts of the world where there is a clear sense that Christmas is not a one-day celebration, but is rather an experience of 12 days beginning December 25 and continuing through tomorrow, January 6th. Now, I learned about Epiphany very early because my grandmother's birthday was January 6th, and she would remind us, even as little children, what that meant. These 12 days of Christmas really provide the connection between the manger scene and our real day-to-day lives. Epiphany is the Greek word meaning appearances. And it refers collectively to three different events in Jesus' life. Though many years apart, they all point to the same truth. Each represents the link between the infant Jesus in a manger and the real world that so desperately needs a Redeemer. One link is the arrival of the wise men from the foreign land, seeking the Messiah whom prophets had foretold. Another link appears in all four Gospels as John baptized Jesus, and the voice of God declared, "This is my beloved Son." And the third link was Jesus' first public miracle at Cana in Galilee, when he turned water into wine. Now, each of these three events testified that the baby born in a manger was recognized as Messiah by outside witnesses, by the wise men, by John the Baptist, and by the guests at the wedding. Each states that the baby Jesus would become the adult Christ. Let's return to the Magi. They appeared as if from nowhere, as the shepherds headed back to work, as one author put it so well, exit shepherds, enter wise men. Exit stables, enter palace. Exit poverty, enter wealth. Exit angels, enter dreams. You know, we know very little about these astrologers. We don't know their names or really even their number. Scripture names three gifts, so we've all leapt to the conclusion that there were three visitors. They came from the east, quite possibly Babylonia. They had seen the star and they knew the prophecies and they wanted to get in on the excitement. But at its root, the story tells us that they sought a very different kind of king from the one they found. Their gifts were very costly and rare, while the recipient was a baby of humble birth. Matthew tells us that Herod summoned the wise men and pretended that he wanted to worship the new king as well. In reality, this one who symbolized the whole religious political establishment wanted the baby killed, and so he ordered every male child under two to be murdered. But something happened. Something happened to these learned astrologers, these strangers, these non-Jews who came and found Jesus. They too believed he was born King of Israel. And these scientists somehow became men of faith. They fell down on their knees and they worshipped. This was no longer an intellectual pursuit for them, but a matter of changed hearts and changed lives. When they returned to their homes, they didn't go back to Jerusalem to tell Herod. They returned home by another path. Perhaps this is the meaning of these days for us. We return home to the familiar and even the mundane, but we do so by a different path. I think most of us are much more like the Magi than we are like the shepherds. Spiritually speaking, it's a long ways from where we live day by day to the side of a manger. We have to travel some distance if we want to go there. The good news of Jesus Christ may seem to be a mirage that lies on the horizon and disappears when we approach it. If so, then Epiphany is our day. It urges us to leave Bethlehem behind and follow Christ on his journey. You see, Lent is just around the corner. There's a cross on the horizon, reminding us that Christmas wasn't just God's brief visit as a baby. It was God's total immersion in our human sphere. The world of blood and sweat and tears. The world of insanity and of redemption. Of overwhelming grief and great joy. If we have really taken the time to come to the manger this year, we can't return home by the same path. We're changed people with changed meaning and changed relationships. Now, the difference may not be dramatic, but I pray that the message is planted somewhere there within you. The words of the great preacher Howard Thurman, I think, say it quite well. And let me finish with those. He writes, "When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart. Amen.